Midwick
Field. Adequate reasons.
Ooh, he's in a hurry.
Hey, what was the number of that car we're supposed to look out for?
UYT576J.
Well, that was him. Come on.
Right. Don't look at him. Go.
Right, put the siren on.
Yeah. Mm.
Right, he's slowing. Pull up in front of him. Mm.
Right.
Hurrying it on a bit, weren't you, sir?
I might have been touching 40.
Bit more than that, I'd say, sir.
Are you going to charge me?
Why, no.
No, then I'm not in the mood to listen to lectures. I'll drive more slowly. Good night.
Just a moment, sir.
Yeah?
Is your name Hallett? David George Hallett?
Yes, why?
We've been asked to look out for you, sir. Would you please phone your home as soon as possible?
Phone my home? Why, what's wrong?
That's all I know, sir. Just to ask you to phone. If you continue up this road for about 4 miles, you'll see some public kiosks outside an all-night garage. And I wouldn't go quite so fast this time, sir. Good night.
Good night.
Aylward 357.
Hello, Claire?
Who's that speaking, please?
Who's that? I dialed Haywood 357.
You've got the right number. What's your name?
My name is Hallett. I live there. Who the devil are you? I want to speak to my wife.
Oh, one moment, please, Mr. Hallett. Mrs. Hallett?
David.
Claire, who was that man?
A policeman.
A policeman? What's happened?
Can you come home, David? Please?
I want to know what's happened.
Oh.
Hello, Mr. Hallett. I'm afraid your wife isn't feeling too well. Do you think you could come home at once? Your son's been missing since 1 o'clock this morning.
Mr. Hallett?
Yes. What's going on? Where's my wife?
The inspector would like to see you first, sir. This way.
I object to being shown around in my own house, thank you.
Inspector?
Oh, come in, Mr. Hallett. Sit down.
Who are you?
State Inspector Nuttall. This is Detective Sergeant Dalton.
You found my son?
Not yet, sir.
Then what are you doing stuck in here?
You've got over 50 men out looking for him, sir.
Well, he's only 4 years old. He can't have got far.
It shouldn't take long to find him. How much do you know about it?
All I know is he's missing.
Your wife phoned the station just after 1 o'clock this morning, 3 hours ago. She'd been disturbed by a noise in your son's room. She went in. His bed was empty. The window was open.
Mm. Do you want a drink?
No, thank you.
Well, go on, I'm listening.
We had a car here within 4 minutes. The constable searched the house and grounds without success. One or two things made them worried, so they got back to the station, and we decided to mount a full-scale search.
What made them worried?
Probably nothing, sir. You can help us with that in a minute. There was one room in the house we couldn't search. It was locked.
Yes. It's always kept locked.
Your wife said you had the key, sir.
He won't be in there.
Nevertheless, we'd like to look, sir, just to make sure.
That was my daughter's room. She died of polio last year. She was 8 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I've kept it locked ever since.
Yeah. You'd like to give us the key? We could look.
No, I'll come with you. I've got the key here. Here we are.
Thank you, sir.
Just an ordinary room.
This are photographs, sir.
Put it down.
Sorry.
Look, can't we hurry it up? I haven't been in here since she went.
I'll take a minute, sir. What's in this chest?
Oh, her toys and some books.
All right, if we look.
Why not?
All right, Sergeant.
You see? Just books and toys. I'll have to get this room cleared out. It's pointless hanging on to all this junk.
That's all I want to see in here. Thank you, sir.
Very well.
Could we just go into your son's room for a moment, sir? There's something I would like to show you.
Just as you wish.
This is how you found it?
Yes. Oh, little devil. He's obviously climbed out through the window.
Has he ever wandered off before, sir?
Yes, a couple of times. You know what kids are. Once some of your chaps found him halfway up the arterial road on his tricycle.
Yes, we know about that.
And the other time he got into that empty house on the corner. My bet is you'll find him in there, fast asleep.
We've been over that house, sir, with a fine-tooth comb. He's not there.
Would you come and have a look at this window?
What about it?
He's always left open as much as this, sir.
Oh, I shouldn't think so, why?
Your wife says she shut it when she put your son to bed.
Well, then he must have opened it.
Yeah, I've closed it. Now, try and open it, sir.
Huh? Bit stiff.
You think a four-year-old boy could have opened it?
What are you getting at?
Oh, just a possibility we have to consider, sir. But perhaps someone opened the window from the outside and took your son away.
You police are all the same. You always love to blow everything up into a big mystery, don't you? A kid of four has wandered off. You can't find him, so now he's kidnapped. Well, I'm going out to look for him. I bet I can accomplish more in 10 minutes than you've achieved in 4 hours.
David.
Claire, now how the devil did this happen? I've told you to keep that window shut. Of course he'll climb out. What kid wouldn't?
Oh, David.
Oh. I'm sorry, Anne. Don't upset yourself. I'm going out with these chaps to look for him. Who can that be at this time?
Excuse me.
Yes?
Mr. Hallett?
Who's that?
You won't know me, but pretend you do. I'll tell you what you've got to do to get your son back.
Who are you?
Just listen. You've got the police in the house. Get rid of them. Then stand by your phone. I'll call again in an hour's time, but get rid of the police.
Is he all right?
Who was that, Mr. Hallett?
Huh?
Who was that on the telephone?
Oh, a friend. He wanted to know if there was any news.
We're going to need your maximum cooperation, you know that. If you keep anything from us, it's going to make it very difficult.
Yes, yes. Yes, I understand that. I don't think I'll come with you, Inspector. My wife shouldn't be left alone. Now, if you've got 50 men out looking for my son, then all that is possible is being done.
As you wish, sir. Come on then, Sergeant. We'll have to manage without Mr. Hallett's help. I'll call again tomorrow, then. Good night.
Try not to worry, Mrs. Hallett. Good night.
You'd make a damn good driver of a hearse, Sergeant.
Sorry, sir. Are we in a hurry?
Yes, we are. It'd be a wonderful thing to have money, be able to afford a house like that.
Yes, sir.
If I saved up every penny of my pay for 15 years, I still wouldn't have enough to buy that place. That chap Hallett probably makes as much in 5 minutes as I make in a month. Yet here am I, at 5 o'clock in the morning, still flogging my guts out to find his son while he stays indoors in the warm. He's not worried, you know. Not a bit worried.
I think he is, sir. He just doesn't show it.
I'm not in the mood to hear good things about him, if you don't mind.
Well, what's our hurry to get back to the station?
You heard the same as I did. Use your brains. What do you think that phone call was about? It was the kidnapper wanting the police out of the way so that he can talk about picking up the ransom money.
Well, how can you be sure?
I'm not. As I see, it's all a question of money now. A business deal, you see. He didn't need us anymore. I've got 50 men out there searching, dragging rivers. I can't pull them off because I'm not sure. I can't be sure because he's lying.
You have taken a dislike to him, sir, haven't you?
Well, the minute we get back to the station, get on to GPO.
Sir?
I'm having his phone monitored, whether he likes it or not. So when he comes crying to us, we'll be ready.
There's a call coming through now, sir.
Right. Switch it through the loudspeaker.
Right, sir.
Listen.
Halewood 357.
Mr. Hallett?
Yes.
All on your own?
My wife's here.
Poor woman. She must be very upset. You didn't tell the police about me, did you?
No.
No, of course not. You want your boy to live, don't you? Now, this is what you've got to do.
You're listening, aren't you?
Yes, yes. What do you want?
£10,000 in £1 notes. The older the better.
Here we go. Mm-hmm.
I haven't got £10,000. I could scrape together £5,000.
Always the businessman. Haggling when his son's life's at stake. I'm offering you top-quality merchandise. The price is very fair.
Now, listen.
No, you listen. It's late and I want some sleep. Your bank should be open for business in about 4.5 hours' time.
Mm.
You'll go there with that nice brown briefcase of yours and draw £10,000 in unmarked notes. You'll drive with it to Waterloo Station and wait underneath the big clock.
That's my boy.
Then what?
Just wait. I'll get in touch with you.
What proof have I that you've got my son?
He's wearing orange and red pajamas. He must have had egg for his tea. He spilt some down the front. Ask your wife. She'll confirm.
All right. I'll do what you say.
Good.
All right, switch it off. Tracing the call, are they?
This should be them. Dalton? Yes. Good. Right. Right. Thank you very much. Fine. Goodbye. The call was made from a public call box on the corner of Lakesham Road, about a mile from Hallett's place. Where's the map? There. We could get a crime car there in 2 minutes.
If we mess things up, we never hear the last of it. Let him get his son back first. In the meantime, we'll be watching every move he makes. Oh, look at the time. Gone 6 o'clock. Well, I'm going to get my head down for a couple of hours. We've got a very busy time ahead of us.
What time are you expecting him, sir?
In about half an hour. Yes? Kenneth Wade Smith.
Mr. Hallett's here to see you, sir. He says he telephoned you.
Oh, dear. Earlier than we thought, Sergeant. Ask him to wait, will you?
Certainly, sir.
Can't be helped, sir. I've got the numbers of some of the notes. I don't want him to see me, though. Can I get out through that door?
Yes, through the general office and out the side door.
Thank you once again for the bank's cooperation, sir.
In the circumstances, Sergeant, it's a pleasure. Goodbye. You can show Mr. Hallett in now, Smith.
He's in the bank now, sir.
I saw him arrive. Look at that car.
A beauty, isn't it?
That car costs more than my house. And my house won't be minus on 60. I bet he changed it every year.
Probably, sir.
Did you get all the serial numbers?
No, sir. Only about a third of them.
Why not the lot?
Oh, they were all old notes, but no consecutive numbers. It would have taken hours to get the lot.
Oh, the station's full of layabouts and loafers drinking tea in the warm. You'd have had all the help you wanted.
Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't think...
You want to try it?
He's coming out now, sir.
I can see him. Let him have a bit of a start.
Right, sir.
Oh, there he goes.
Yes, I can see him, sir.
Well, then get a move on. Oh, no. You had to wait for every old lady who wants to cross. Oh, get a move on, dear. It'll take her 5 minutes to step off the curb. Oop, don't strain yourself, dear. Come on. Where is he?
I think we've lost him.
You think we have? I know darn well we have. You better drive to Waterloo Station, Sergeant, and hope and pray he'll be there waiting.
Will passengers holding reservations 1140 out of White Train please queue at the side of platform 11? Thank you.
Oh, we're going to the Isle of Wight now. Just pack it all in and join the queue at platform 11.
Inspector Nuttall?
Yes?
All exits covered, sir.
Good. Now, they know they've only got to follow whoever approaches Hallett. I don't want any arrest until we get the boy back.
We're all clear on that, sir.
Good. Well, go on, then. Make yourself inconspicuous.
Sir.
God, look at those fools by the exit. Sticks out a mile. They're plain clothes, coppers.
They're passengers, sir. Our chap is over there.
Not the 7-footer in the size 13 boots.
Yes, sir.
Oh, most inconspicuous. Whose suit's he wearing? Isn't his own. Hallett still there?
Yes. He's getting as impatient as we are.
Mm. Well, they charge for a cup of tea in this place.
Wait a minute, sir. Someone's approaching him.
Who?
That little chap in the brown suit. Yes, he's making straight for Hallett. He's talking to him.
Excuse me.
What is it?
You wouldn't be Mr. Hallett, would you?
Yes, why?
Oh, I guessed you was the one with that brown briefcase. You feel so awkward going up to a complete stranger.
What do you want?
I've got a message for you, actually.
Oh?
I was walking past that phone kiosk by the bookstall when it rang. Well, being a bit on the nosy side, I answered it. Oh, I must hurry or I miss my connection.
Yes.
The gentleman on the phone asked if I'd kindly pass on a message to a friend of his who'd be carrying a brown briefcase and standing under the clock. Well, I looked and saw you.
Yes, yes. Well, what's the message?
Oh, he said, go to the phone box outside the King's Head Public House at Tattenham Corner and he'll phone you there.
Tattenham Corner. Right.
It was a bit
Thank
of
you.
Luck, really. I was passing by. I mean, I just heard it ring. Oh, he's gone.
Alec's leaving, sir. And he's still got the briefcase with him.
Well, I don't think that little chap's involved. Let the others tail him. We'll follow Hallett. You better not lose him this time, Sergeant. No matter how many old ladies want to cross.
Yes, Hallett speaking.
I told you, no police.
I haven't been to the police.
You must want your son dead.
I want him back. I've got the money.
Been followed all the way here from Waterloo Station. Two men and a grey Morris miner.
Well, I give you my word, I know nothing about them.
Get rid of them. They're parked in the lay-by off the crossroads. Get rid of them and come back to the phone box. It's your last chance. Your son's last chance.
Every citizen has a duty to cooperate with the police, no matter how much money he's got.
I can see his point of view, sir.
Sitting as packing as if we were a couple of school kids caught smoking. He's made our job 10 times more difficult, you know that? 10 times more difficult.
He just wants to get his kid back.
Oh, yes, and when that happens, you know what he'll do? I'll tell you. He'll come slipping to us to get his 10,000 quid back, and quick. I know his type. Any message, Jones?
The superintendent would like to see you right away, sir.
Well, it's probably been on to complain. He'll get no apologies from me. I won't be long, Sergeant.
He's happy, Sarge.
We've had a lousy morning. We've been tailing Hallett since 10 o'clock. In the last minute, he spots us and sends us packing. The inspector didn't take it too kindly. Words were exchanged.
Oh, dear.
I reckon I've got time to nip down the canteen for a cup of tea.
I don't think so. He's coming back.
If you could tear yourself away, Sergeant.
Oh, that was quick, sir.
They found the body of a young boy in Marshley Woods.
Oh, no.
Sounds like ours. Come on. A perfect ending to a lousy morning. You've got earth in the back of your trousers, Sergeant.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, it's you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Hallett. Can we come in, please?
I've told you before, stay away from me.
Just a minute, sir. Have you paid the ransom?
Yes.
What's the arrangement for getting him back to you?
They'll phone me.
Taking their time, aren't they?
Look, Inspector Nuttall, I told you before, until my son is returned, I don't want to talk to you. Now, please go.
We've found him, sir.
Mark? You found Mark?
Hey, Claire! Claire!
No, sir.
What is it?
They found him, Claire. What's the matter, Inspector?
I'm very sorry, sir.
You're not telling me...
I knew it all along. I knew it.
You interfering swine. He said he'd kill Mark if the police were involved. You've killed my son.
No, sir.
Why, I ought to...
Stop it. Stop it.
It was nothing we did, sir. According to medical evidence, your son has been dead for some hours.
What?
In fact, he was already dead when the kidnapper phoned you. There was no chance of returning him to you alive.
Oh. How did he die?
You don't know yet, sir. We're still waiting for the pathologist's report.
Oh, David. Oh, David.
We'd better go inside, hadn't we? We're doing no good standing here on the doorstep. Sorry to have kept you, Inspector.
How's your wife now, sir?
The doctor's put her under sedation. Drink?
No.
I think I will.
We'll have to ask you to formally identify your son, sir.
Yes.
Just routine, sir. I'm afraid there's no doubt about it.
Where did you find him?
In the woods, about a mile away. He's under a pile of leaves. One of the foresters found him.
And you don't know how he died?
Not yet, I know.
I couldn't bear to think that he suffered.
I don't think he did, sir. Do you feel up to answering some questions?
I want to help.
What happened this morning after you sent us packing?
Yeah, I had a lot to say for myself then, didn't I? I went back to the phone box. As soon as I got there, the phone rang. It was him. He said, so you got rid of them? I said, yes. He told me to drive about 3 miles up the road until I came to a humpback bridge. Without stopping the car, I was to chuck the briefcase out, then go home and wait for the phone call, which would tell me how I could collect Mark. Well, I'm going to have another drink.
You did all that?
Yes, to the letter.
You didn't see anyone pick up the briefcase?
Well, I just drove straight on.
Any other cars about?
I didn't see any. I just drove straight home.
What are you hopping about for, Sergeant?
Can I ask a question, sir?
If you want to.
Mr. Hallett, you said that when you returned to the kiosk, the phone rang almost immediately.
That's right.
Do you think the kidnapper could see you from where he was phoning?
Oh, I hadn't thought of it. It's possible.
And his first words to you were, "So you've got rid of them." Now, we were tucked quite some way down the road, yet it seems that he could see us as well as you.
You got a map of the area, Sergeant. Come on, let's have it.
Here we are, sir.
Now, where's the King's Head public house?
There.
And we were parked here?
No, a bit further back than that.
I know where we were, Sergeant. Over this way, it's just open country. Ground rises here. You could look right down, yes. I'd say it'd have to be somewhere within this area here. I could see the phone box and the road junction. Oh, why don't maps fold up again once you've undone them?
Let me,
the
sir.
Stupid things, they cost enough. Yeah, well, you better take a drive up there and have a sniff around, Sergeant, after you've dropped Mr. Hallett and me off. The identification, sir?
What now?
Well, sooner the better.
It's not fair, is it? Both my kids. Oh, very well, Inspector. Ready when you are.
This way, gentlemen.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Hallett?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. 4 years old. I'll get someone to run you back to. Constable?
Yes, sir.
Did you see that Mr. Hallett gets home?
This way, Mr. Hallett. He the father?
Yes.
I don't know how people can do it to kids.
Is the pathologist in?
In his office, Inspector. You know the way by now.
Oh, now come in. Ah, the happy, smiling face of Inspector Nuttall. Come in, my dear fellow. Will you join me in my simple repast, a ham sandwich?
No, thank you, Dr. Fuller. I've eaten.
You rich policeman. You can afford to have leisurely meals in expensive restaurants, while us poor pathologists have to snatch the odd snack in the Spartan surroundings of our inadequate offices.
You know what you have to pay to get a decent meal in a restaurant these days?
More than you've paid for your house?
Huh?
Sit down, my dear fellow, sit down.
Do you mind removing this glass jar and its revolting contents from under my nose?
Ah, now, this would interest you.
No, it wouldn't. Put it away.
Oh, there we are. Now, to what do I owe the honour?
You done the PM on the kid yet?
All finished. My report is being typed up now.
What's the verdict?
Suffocation. Damn.
What's up?
I can't undo the top of my thermos. Ah, that's better. I'm willing to sacrifice the second cup, which I look forward to and always enjoy, if you'd like one.
No, thank you. This place puts me off eating and drinking. Suffocated, you say?
A pillow or a cushion had been pressed over his face. He struggled a bit. You can see the bruising on the back of the neck where he was gripped.
Couldn't possibly be an accident, then.
Huh? When he was deliberately held firm by the back of the neck, not a chance. This is murder, Inspector.
Was he murdered in bed, do you think?
Well, not while he was lying down, anyway. The fact that he was held at the back suggests he was sitting up.
Time of death?
Ah, there I can be fairly precise. I've examined the stomach contents. Chuck us that tin, would you?
What's in it?
Sugar, my dear boy, sugar for my tea.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. He had his last meal about 20 minutes to half an hour before he died. A boiled egg, bread, milk. Find out from the mother when she fed him and add on 30 minutes. I'd say he died shortly after 8 o'clock last night.
No.
You don't agree?
It's too early. The wife heard a noise in his room at 1 o'clock this morning.
He'd been dead 5 hours then, old sport.
But...
I'll check my figures if you like, but you know my record for infallibility. Anyway, find out when she fed him. That'll clinch it. Well, that was a delicious little snack. Look at the time. Unless you want me any more, Inspector, I have another customer outside awaiting my attention.
That's about it, thanks. You'll send me a copy of your report.
I'll personally autograph it for you. Where are you going now? Back to the station?
No, over to Forensic first. They've got his clothes for examination. If you should see my sergeant, steer him over there, would you?
I called at the mortuary, but you left.
That place gives me the willies. You look happy.
I've found where he phoned from.
Where?
Another public phone box.
Well, I said it will be.
Yes, sir.
Well, mention that fact in your report, would you? It might dispel the widely held theory that I'm old and useless. You're sure you found the right box?
Positive.
Don't get cocky about it.
I'm feeling cocky, sir.
All right. Let me in on the secret. What have you found?
This, sir.
Oh, a used window envelope. Looks familiar. On Her Majesty's service. From the Inspector of Taxes. No, nothing inside. What's so special about it?
Look at the back, sir.
Ah, some figures. 42387X. I give up. You tell me.
42387X is the telephone number of the kiosk outside the King's Head. The kidnapper would have taken a note of the number to phone Hallett.
Where did you find it?
It was too easy. On top of the directories by the side of the phone.
If I didn't think the praise would go to your head, I'd say it was a damn good piece of work.
Oh.
You had the envelope checked for fingerprints?
Yes, nothing recognizable, I'm afraid.
Well, we mustn't hope for too much. At least we know the murderer pays tax.
Oh, come now, sir.
All right, Sergeant, I know. Postmarked the 26th of last month. And if the tax office can give us a list of the people they wrote to on that day, it'll be a start. I suppose no one saw a strange car hanging about near the phone box this morning?
As a matter of fact, they did, sir.
Hmm? Well, don't tell me our luck's changing.
Two of the locals noticed a white open sports car parked further along the road. A flashy thing, by all accounts. It stuck in their minds.
Right. You got the make, registration number, engine number?
You're being greedy, sir.
I'll break it last, Sergeant. Well, while our luck's holding, let's go and see what Forensic can tell us about the boy's clothes.
This is what he was wearing, Inspector. Pajama jacket, trousers, and a vest.
Yes?
They were newly washed and ironed when he put them on yesterday, which was a great help. We ran the vacuum over them, and we've got quite a few interesting specimens.
Like what?
This, for a start. It might help you.
Mm. They look like long grey hairs.
That's right. From a cat.
Well, the Hallets have got a cat.
A grey one?
I'm afraid so.
Mm. Well, we can probably eliminate that as a clue. Perhaps you could get me a few hairs from the cat for comparison.
My sergeant will see to it personally. What are these?
Red fibers, wool and nylon.
Knitting wool?
Oh, no, definitely not knitting wool, no. No, these would be from a carpet, fairly new, of quite good quality.
I hate to mention it, but the boy's room was newly carpeted, and it was red, if I remember.
Yes, about the colour of those fibers, Jordan.
You're shooting me valuable clues down 1B1, Inspector. There were one or two human hairs, but I was able to verify that they came from the boy.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've saved the best to last, so fingers crossed. Now, we got these samples from his pajamas, his hair, his eyebrows, his lips. Pieces of fiber from a car rug. There.
This could be something.
Now, my guess is that the body was completely wrapped in the car rug and then transported to the woods.
Hmm. I can't quite make out the colours.
They're blue and grey. Oh. But we feel it's more than likely the car rug will be blue and grey checked, with red outlines to the squares. You can see the odd bit of red here and there. Yeah.
You got that description, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
We'll have to circularise motor accessory shops and garages.
Well, it's worth a try.
Now, this rug, is it old, new, what?
I can tell you this. It's never been washed or dry cleaned since new, and it's had some motor oil spilt on it.
Oh. Anything else?
Isn't that enough?
Oh, to start. You'll send me one of your incomprehensible reports, I suppose.
It should be in your office now, Inspector.
Good. Right, Sergeant. You get off to the tax office now and get a list of everyone they wrote to on the 26th.
You're not coming, sir?
No. I've got to go back and have a few more words with Mrs. Hallett.
Oh, won't you come in, Inspector? My husband's out, I'm afraid.
Thank you. It's you I came to see, actually, Mrs. Hallett.
In here.
Thank you.
Can I take your coat?
No, I won't be staying. Just a couple of questions and I'm away. How are you bearing up?
I still expect to see him running in through that door. Oh, I'm sorry, Inspector. I'm embarrassing you.
Not at all, Mrs. Hallett. I just wish there was something I could say that would help.
You mentioned some questions.
Yes. They may sound pointless, but they are important. You gave Mark his tea before you put him to bed yesterday.
Yes.
What time would that be?
When I gave him his tea?
Yes.
About 7 or 7:15.
Could you be precise?
Well, he had an egg. Yes, I remember. I timed his egg by the clock, and it was exactly 7:10 when I put it in the water. So, give or take a minute, it would be 7:15, as I said.
And he ate it straight away?
Yes, he loved eggs. But I don't see the point of these questions.
Believe me, you're helping me immensely. You've already told us you put him to bed at 7:45.
Yes.
And when you looked in on him at 8:30, he was sleeping soundly.
He was fast asleep.
Well, when we find the man who killed your son, Mrs. Hallett, those times are going to be very important.
I appreciate
so
that.
You must have the correct times. Did you leave the house at all, for any reason, last night?
Leave Mark on his own? Well, how could I?
You're telling me you stayed in the house all the time?
Well, if I didn't go out, I stayed in, yes.
Would you listen to me very carefully, Mrs. Hallett? If you'd left him alone, you couldn't possibly have dreamt such a terrible thing would happen while you were away. Maybe you had to go out to meet someone you prefer your husband didn't know about. I can understand your difficulty, but the truth will have to come out. It'd be much better if you told me now.
I'm sorry, I just don't know what you're talking about.
All right, I'm talking gibberish. Let's get your time straight. You put him to bed at 7:45.
Yes.
At 8:30, you looked in and he was fast asleep.
Yes.
Just before you went to bed at 10:00, you looked in again. He was still fast asleep.
Yes.
At 1:00 in the morning, you heard a noise in his room. When you looked, his bed was empty.
That's right.
And you didn't leave the house at all.
I've told you.
And yet, according to expert medical evidence, at 8:00, your son was dead. At 8:30, he'd been dead for 30 minutes. At 10:00, he'd been dead for 2 hours. What do you say to that, Mrs. Hallett?
He was asleep. He was asleep.
What's going on here?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm afraid I upset your wife.
Are you all right, Glenn?
No.
I think you'd better go, Inspector.
Oh, I'm very sorry, Mrs. Hallett. I should have been more tactful. Perhaps I could talk to you again when you're feeling better. According to her, the boy was alive and well hours after the pathologist had him dead and buried. Imagine trying to sell that to a court. I don't know why she's lying, but how many times have I told you not to bring chips into the office? That fatty smell clings to everything.
Sorry, sir. I've had nothing to eat all day.
Well, then go out and get something to eat. Don't bring it in here. Turns my stomach, that smell. How'd you get on in the tax office?
Very well. They were most helpful.
That makes a change.
I went through all their files for me and produced a list of everyone they wrote to on that day. The number of letters they send out, it's fantastic.
Half of them come to me. They reckon I own 56 Brid from 3 years ago. Didn't try and get it.
Yes, sir. They probably will.
What?
Anyway, we're checking every man's name on the list with the vehicle registrations department to see if we can come up with someone who owns a white sports car.
Who's doing the checking?
Johnson and Taylor.
We always get the bright ones, don't we? Well, you better be in there with them.
I only popped out for a couple of minutes.
Well, you finished your chips, so get back in there. And take the waste paper basket with you. The chip paper is stinking the place out. A bit of fresh air in here. Oh, answer it, would you?
Yes, sir. Dalton. Oh, hello, Johnny. What?
Just a minute. It's Johnson, sir. They've come up with a likely name.
Get the details.
Okay, Johnny. Shoot. Yes. Got it. Sounds hopeful. Oh, yes, he's back. He's moaning like hell about the chips. Yes, open your window. Ta-ta. Here it is, sir. John Edward Foster, 52 Ewington Way, and he's the owner of a new white sports car.
Ewington Way?
Here it is on the map, sir.
And Hallett lives there. I've got one of my feelings, Sergeant. We're on to something. What time is it?
Just gone 9:45, sir.
Oh, come on, we're going visiting down Ewington Way. Where'd you get your chips?
Tony's, on the corner.
Well, we might just pop in there on the way round. There it is. Number 52. And there's the white sports car in the drive.
Beautiful cars, aren't they, sir?
You spent less on chips. You might be able to afford one.
Oh,
you'd better wait here. I think I'd like to see this joker on my own.
Yes?
Mr. John Henry Foster.
That's right. I don't know you, do I?
I know it's late, sir. But I'm hoping you'll be able to help us with some inquiries we're making.
Inquiries?
I'm a police officer, sir. Detective Inspector Nuttall.
Oh. Well, shouldn't you have a warrant card or something?
Yeah, you're quite right, sir. Here we are.
Oh, thank you. I suppose it's all right. I don't really know what they're supposed to look like.
Not very impressive, are they, Mr. Foster? Is that your car?
Yes. I say there's nothing wrong, is there?
What should be wrong, sir?
Well, I can show you the receipt if you want to see it. It was a straightforward deal.
I have to set you back a few pounds.
Is it about the car?
No, not directly. Would you mind telling me where you were this morning from about 10 o'clock until midday?
Oh, that's easy. I was at work. Look, it's a bit nippy talking here on the doorstep. Would you like to come in?
Oh, thank you. Very nice of you, sir.
This way. That door on your left. I'll put the electric fire on. It'll soon warm up the room.
All right. I'd better take the name of your firm, Mr. Foster.
Oh, yes, of course. Norton Phosphates at London Wall.
Oh, London Wall. Oh, yes. I know. Thank you. You've no objection to my approaching them?
No, of course not. My office manager's a Mr. Bishop. Can you tell me what this is all about?
Do you live here all alone, sir?
Well, with my mother, but she's off on holiday this week.
I see.
Ooh, which reminds me, I've got some soup on the gas. Is it all right if I give it a stir?
Oh, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'll make some tea while I'm there, shall I?
Oh, I wouldn't like to trouble you, sir.
Oh, it's no trouble. There's some magazines in that rack.
Magazines? Hmm. Racing motorist. Speed. Very classy. What was that? Mr. Foster? Oh, my God. Foster, come back! Sergeant! Sergeant, get him! Sure you're all right, Sergeant?
Yes, thank you, sir. I bleed easily. Oh, I must have belted my nose on the windscreen.
Well, get out of the car. You're dripping blood all over the carpeting.
Right, sir.
Shall I put a key down your back or something?
I'll be all right, sir.
You better go in the ambulance with Foster.
Oh, how is he?
Out cold. Must have caught his head a crack. What do you think I found on the back seat?
The blue and grey rug?
No, we'll have to ask him about that. Would you settle for a brown briefcase stuffed with banknotes? Not all. Hello, Sergeant. How's it going? He's regaining consciousness. Good. You got his statement? What? Oh, dear. I was afraid of something like that. Get Johnson to take over from you and meet me here in 15 minutes. Has your nose stopped bleeding? Oh, good. Then we'll go in my car.
They must have gone to bed, sir.
Well, we should be if we had any sense. Try again. All right, someone's coming.
Who is it?
Inspector Nuttall, Mr. Hallett.
Do you know what time it is, Inspector?
Only too well, sir.
Who is it, David?
It's me and the sergeant, Mrs. Hallett.
Sorry to bother you at this ridiculous hour, sir. We thought you'd like to know right away. We've got him.
The man who killed my son?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that, Claire? They've got him. Oh, come in, Inspector. Yeah. Come in.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Now, never mind your rules and regulations. We're going to have a drink. Oh, pour them, Sergeant.
Sir?
Go ahead. Yeah, fill them up, Sergeant. Make them large ones. You'd better have one too, Claire. You look as white as a sheet.
It's been such a day. You've caught him then, Inspector?
That's right, Mrs. Hallett. The sergeant had to ram his car to stop him. We got him and the money.
Who is it?
A chap called Foster. John Henry Foster. Lives at Ewington Way. You know him?
No.
He's only young. Can't be more than 25, 26.
Why did he do it?
He was short of money. He lost his job. An expensive car he couldn't afford but wouldn't give up.
And that was his reason?
Reasons rarely sound adequate to other people, sir.
Well, I gave him money.
Yes. What colour is your car rug, sir?
My car rug?
Yes.
Red.
Just plain red? No other colour?
No, just plain red. Why does it matter?
Well, I thought it might have been blue and grey.
I did have a blue and grey one. It checked with some red in it. I spilt some oil on it and we threw it away.
Thank you very much. That's tied up one or two loose ends. As I've told you, we've recovered the ransom money.
The money, yeah.
Mr. Hallett, I'd like you to come down to the station with me to identify the briefcase.
I'll look in tomorrow.
I'd like you to do it now, sir.
Now, at this time of night?
If we can get all the exhibits identified for the inquest tomorrow, sir, it'll be over and done within a day.
Right.
Otherwise, it'll be adjourned for a week or so, and I think we'd all like to get it over.
Yes, yes, of course, sir. I'll just slip on a coat. You'll be all right on your own, Claire.
It won't be the first time.
I'll stay with your wife, sir. You'll be there and back in 20 minutes.
Oh, right. Thank you. Well, come on then, Sergeant. The inspector's glass is empty, Claire.
After you, sir.
Sure.
Another drink, Inspector?
No, thank you.
Must I go to the inquest tomorrow?
There won't be an inquest tomorrow, Mrs. Hallett. We're putting it off for a week.
But you've dragged my husband
out. Yes, still, he'll enjoy the ride. Besides, I want him out of the way for a while. I imagine he can be quite violent when he likes.
Violent?
Well, I didn't want him to be here when I charged you with the murder of your son, Mark. Tell me, Mrs. Hallett, why did you kill him?
If you don't mind me saying so, Sergeant, that was a complete and utter waste of time.
Sorry about that, sir. I forgot they would have locked the briefcase away for the night. Still, we haven't been long. Oh, you've got a visitor.
This time of night?
There's a car outside your door.
Yeah, that's the doctor's car. Something's happened. Claire? Claire, are you all right?
Oh, back sooner than I expected, sir.
What's the doctor doing here?
I'm afraid your wife is not too well, sir.
Well, how do you mean?
She's very disturbed. The doctor's with her now.
You upset her the last time you were here. What have you been saying?
Tell Mr. Hallett about Foster's statement, Sergeant.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
He's admitted to demanding and receiving the ransom money, sir.
He could hardly deny that, could he? You found it on him.
But he does deny being concerned in any way with the death of your son, Mr. Hallett.
But you expect him to? You really expect him to be proud of killing a four-year-old kid? You give me 5 minutes with him, Inspector, that's all. 5 minutes, I'll make him admit it.
Sergeant.
According to his statement, he went out for a drive in his car yesterday evening. He stopped in the woods for a quiet smoke when another car pulled up a few yards away from him. A woman got out, carrying a bundle. She didn't see him, but he recognized her. It was your wife.
Claire?
He watched her bury this bundle under a pile of leaves. He waited until she'd driven off. Then he had a poke around. The bundle was the body of your son.
No.
His first thought was to call the police. But then he realized what a heaven-sent opportunity this could be to solve his financial problems. So, he phoned you and demanded a ransom.
He knew your wife couldn't give him away, sir.
He's lying.
We've learned not to believe everything we're told, sir. Not without checking, anyway. And his story checks. He said the bundle was originally wrapped in a blue and grey car rug. Our forensic staff found blue and grey fibres all over the body.
Which proves what?
Well, when we found the blue and grey rug in the boot of your wife's car, sir, it proved a lot.
Well, there must be thousands of those car rugs.
She's admitted it, sir.
What?
She's admitted to killing your son.
But why? Why would she do that?
She's been ill for quite some time, hadn't you noticed?
Well, I don't spend a lot of time at home.
I don't suppose you've been right since you lost your daughter last year. Everyone was so kind to her when that happened. As I see it, she missed the kindness. She just wants a little bit of sympathy.
She killed my son. Just to gain sympathy.
As we've said, sir, reasons are rarely adequate when we try to explain them to other people.
This way, please, Mrs. Hallett. Inspector?
Yes, Doctor?
I'd like to get her off to hospital right away. I'm very worried about her mental state.
Okay. You want to go with her, Mr. Hallett?
No.
She needs you, Mr. Hallett.
No.
As you wish.
David?
All right, Mrs. Hallett, you're coming with me. Give me a hand, Sergeant.
I've got to go to the hospital, David. You look after the children, won't you? You bring them to see me.
Come on, Mrs. Hallett. This way.
Well, I've got to see the children.
I'll never forgive her, Inspector. I'll never forgive her.
The funny thing is, sir, she seems to put most of the blame on you. Isn't it ridiculous?
In Adequate Reasons by R.D. Wingfield, Detective Inspector Nuttall was played by Frederick Treves, Detective Sergeant Dalton, John Sampson, David Hallett, John Pullen, Claire Hallett, Alethea Charlton, Dr. Fuller, Douglas Blackwell, A Man at the Station, Martin Friend, John Foster, John Rye, Mr. Jordan, J.J. Murphy, Bank Manager, Anthony Higginson, and Police Constable Jones, Julian Fox. Other parts were played by members of the cast.